Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva and Dave for Live. Tonight we managed to get on Blog Talk Radio to have the show tonight, but unfortunately I can't get the flipping chat room open, so we'll keep trying to do that, so be patient with me. Make sure you follow us on our blog at divaanddaveforlives.blogspot.com, and you can follow me on Twitter. My name is Carrie, and you can follow me at Diva Abdul, and we also have two Facebook pages, and you can find all the links here on our show page, and you can also follow us on Blog Talk Radio. So tonight we have Anna joining us.
Hello.
And we have Miss Marianne joining us.
Hello.
Anna, why don't you go ahead and Pansy Hapkus for us.
All right. For a good time and to be both entertained and offended, as we like to say, follow at Bob Hapka, that's B-O-B-H-A-P-K-A, and Amy Hapka on Twitter. They're a lot of fun, and they also happen to be Mark's family, Mark Hapka from Days of Our Lives. But anyway, they're a lot of fun, and they sort of don't watch Days anymore, but we still love them. How's that? Excuse me.
They don't watch Days.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of give up on Days, unfortunately, I think.
Yeah.
But they're still curious, because I know Amy was asking you something about Stefano the other day, so.
Yeah, and if you like to watch people mean tweet Kim Kardashian, you have to follow Bob, because she's hilarious. So make sure you follow Bob and Amy for a good time. And Lauren Coslow said this week, looks like she successfully did talk James Scott into joining Twitter, but I haven't been online today. Did he come on Twitter yet?
I haven't
seen anything. No, I saw that he's gonna start. She said to be on the lookout, but I haven't seen any account up or anything.
Okay.
So I'm sure we'll know all the once he hits Twitter. I'm sure.
I'm thinking
that'll
last about a day. Once he gets spammed,
he'll be so bombarded. Yeah, I can imagine his timeline will be.
I don't know.
Lauren's very convincing. She got Ian on and she got Brian on, so she and Allie are both very convincing. But
she has to be a big influence to get James on, because he's been so adamant about not being on anything.
Yeah.
Social network.
And I mean, it doesn't sound like he does the whole. I mean, he doesn't even actually watch the show, because for a long time he didn't own a TV. I don't know, he might own one now, but he's just kind of really not affected by it too much and not really that into it. But he goes in, does his job, takes it seriously, does a great job, and so I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see what happens on Twitter, but go Lauren for trying, and hey, if she can get it to happen, awesome.
And it's
funny.
Did you
see her tweet? Go ahead, sorry.
The people that are most against it, once they start it, they really like it. And then they get really
Ian was hesitant at first.
I was real hesitant, and I know
too.
A lot of other ones.
Me too.
Yeah. So I don't know. He might take to it.
You never know.
I think he's going to hate it, and he's going to regret it. Because,
he tried to blog. Remember he tried to blog on Sony or Days of Our Lives or something, one of those websites, NBC or Sony. He tried it, and he did maybe one or two blog posts maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and then he was kind of like, I'm just not cut out for this. go Lauren for trying, and if she can get it to happen, and I know if anyone can, she can convince him, but I'm just afraid he's going to get spammed and be like, oh, geez, why did I do this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people would be respectful, you know, it would be nice if people would be respectful and give him space and, you know, allow him time to get acclimated to it so that he would actually enjoy doing it. If any jammies or any people who don't like him, they're safe fans or whatever, the safe fans should be nice, be respectful, okay, or anybody else who doesn't like him, but or like his character, I should say. But, you know, try to, you know, if he does get on Twitter, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot if you're a fan of his and he's inundated constantly and spammed to the point that he won't even enjoy going on his own feed. So you got to keep that in mind, people. You know, if he does, be respectful, be normal, and maybe he'll actually enjoy it. So that's my advice anyway. I don't know.
But we all know the crazy people online don't know they're the crazy people. That's why I always say the joke is if you don't know who the crazy
people online, really?
I know, it's hard to believe. I mean, it makes you want to like not leave the house. Just like, holy cow, that could be my neighbor or something. It, like I always say, if you don't know who the crazy people are in your fan base, it's you. Because every fan base has a crazy person or several. And we all know who they are usually. So if you don't know who the person is in your fan base, it is you. And everybody is talking about you, so you do have a reason to be paranoid. So, I mean, holy
true
cow.
True.
I mean, if you haven't seen the blog, I have one person who spams me 20 times a day at least talking about how she wants Matt Ashford to leave Days and go to General Hospital. And how she wants Melissa Reeves to be fired, and how she wants Sean Christian to be fired. And it's every single bloody day. And people reply to this person, like, shut up, you're being annoying. And this person is completely oblivious and just ignores them and keeps going. And it's unbelievable. And I've been, ever since the announcement came out that Matt got fired, it's been every day. I'm getting, like, 20 posts from the same person. And, you know, it's clogging up my email. It's like, and it's like, you, I know I can't reason with this person. This person is just too cuckoo. And, you know, so I apologize to everybody who has to read it. But after 2 weeks, all comments, after 2 weeks of a blog post, if it's been 2 weeks or older, all the comments come into moderation. So I'm actually not approving comments from this person because, I mean, it's nothing new. It's the same old shit. Day in and day out, and I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, I don't know who has the time on their hands to sit there and write the same spiel every day, 20 times a day. That this person really does.
Yeah. It's good to put your comments out there, but and let you know how you feel, but not constantly like that. Then it gets annoying, and then nobody listens anyway. Once it gets to be too much, then the message is lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I did a blog on Peter Reckl, and we'll talk about Peter here in a minute, I actually had to put on the blog, this is about Peter Reckl, please don't comment about Matt Ashford. And it worked, because she actually got the hint and didn't comment on Matt Ashford on that blog. But it was Matt Ashford 24/7 on all my blogs. And, you know, it just discourages people from wanting to read the comments. So, like I said, if you don't know who crazy in your fan base is, it's you. If you're on my blog posting 20 times a day the same old shit about Matt Ashford, you might want to call a therapist or somebody. So, you know, let's talk about Peter. I don't know if there's, I guess I haven't been online today, if there's anything new about it. That I guess Super Digest reported that Peter said at his the race on Sparrow 2 weeks ago that he was leaving the show for sure, and people were saying he got teared up and that. But it's odd that it was 2 weeks later, no one said they heard this comment. So I don't, you know, unless he swore this group of fans of secrecy, nobody leaked that out. And then Kelly Moneymaker, his wife on Twitter, was commenting that, well, what's Hope going to do without him? What's CR going to do without him? And then Peter started tweeting, too, that having other projects and he'll stay on Twitter and all this stuff. So, and then about Days on about.com, reported that his last tape day is end of July on a, and they have the date wrong, so probably because they listed a Sunday and he doesn't tape on a Sunday. They're usually done on a Friday, and once in a while they'll tape on Saturday. So, I don't know if there's like a window, like can you sign until last minute, you know, like till your last day, can you sign a contract, or is it, okay, you know, we have a month of shooting to go, if you're not coming back, we got to wrap up your storyline. I'm not sure exactly how that works out. So,
yeah.
If you look
They'd
at it.
They'd have to change up the storyline, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's
saying
what
you're going to do
the last day. I mean, how do you fix that? So, oh, I apologize. I'm hearing my phone is breaking up. I don't know what the problem is. It's just a crackberry. It's actually a new one.
Yeah, it's like cracking. You can hear you. I mean, there's like no like long pauses or anything. It's just kind of like breaking up.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, was there anything new, Marianne, or what do you think about the show without Bo Brady?
Well, a little bit that I had read, and I on Daytime Confidential, they were saying that he was in contract negotiations, and they wanted him to take another big pay cut again,
mm-hmm.
like he took before. And I guess Jamie was saying about he just thought it was terrible. You know, he already had to take a big pay cut, and to lose one of your veterans when you're already on the brink of cancellation really isn't a very good idea, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And Bo's so popular, and I don't know what they're going to do. Like, what was Hope? Are they going to kill Bo off? Are they going to split them up? Are they going to recast him? Which
mm-hmm.
I don't know. They did before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd like another Bo recast. I mean, I like Bo and Hope. I like, you know, I think the show would miss him, but I don't know. Maybe they'll try to keep him. Maybe there'll be a last minute thing, and he can resign. But it's funny, all these veterans, not like, well, Renee chose to retire, whether that was I don't know if there was anything other more than just personal reasons, and she was just ready anyway. And now Molly chose to leave and not resign. Now Peter. So that's three of them that actually weren't written out or fired. They kind of more or less chose to go on their own. So I don't know if they see the writing on the wall or they're not happy. And there's maybe a lot of other actors maybe not happy either with the way things are going now.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know. So,
what were you thinking, Anna?
Yes, Anna.
Well, I mean, I'm an old school, like, Bo fan, you know, from the 80s, one of my faves and everything. But, you know, I love Peter and I love him on the show and everything, but you know, really, a lot of the stuff that they've written for them has been really boring, and it seems like he's really not that into it. I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to insult him or insult the show or anything, but I don't know. I just haven't found the scenes all that great. Now, maybe some of the Zach and the counseling and all that, there have been some good scenes, like with, you know, Bo and Hope talking about Zach and things, but I don't know. So much of it's just kind of been boring, you know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I really think the way they've handled it on Twitter has been tacky. I mean, I hate to say it, but I can't, you know, I really think that his, I mean, and nothing, I mean, I'm sure his wife's a delightful person. I'm really not trying to be ugly about it, but I saw her tweets and I just thought, you know, if they're trying to up the negotiation ante, you know, hire out, you know, don't take it in house. Hire out for that, you know, because it's really kind of not classy to do that and to be like, well, you know, Bo's going to be gone soon or whatever. It's like, just come out with it and say you're going to be gone or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because I understand negotiations and all, but you know, it's kind of like at this point, although I don't really know who else they put Hope with because I can't really think of anybody I think would be good with her right now, at least it's currently on the show. But maybe I'll bring back that guy who I can't remember his name that they thought was Sierra's father for a bit or something. I don't know, but Brody Huxler or something like that. No, I don't know. That was a random thought. But anyway, But anyway, I just really, I'm honestly not that worried, upset about it, I have to say. And my little 80s Bo part really feels bad saying that, but I'm not really torn up about it. You know, I really think it's kind of, I mean, I feel bad for these people. I feel horrible that these actors have to keep taking pay cuts and stuff, and I do feel bad for them. But when you think about it, when you think about it, we're all taking pay cuts, too. You know, a lot of us out in the real world aren't making what we used to make either, you know. And so,
right, exactly.
Again, I feel horrible for them, but at least they're doing something that they absolutely love to do. And if they no longer love to do it, like Renee wanted to retire, then retire, you know. And it sounds to me like Peter's got these other projects going with The Grove and, you know, Venice and all. Maybe he just wants to do that, and maybe, you know, maybe that's what he finds fulfilling. But I just don't like the way they've handled it on Twitter. I think that's been really disrespectful to the fans and to the producers and to the show. I mean, it's one thing to get your fans all riled up and try to have an outcry and all that in a campaign. That's one thing. I mean, that's classic soap opera. That's what we do, you know.
Yeah,
but
you should do
it
behind the scenes.
Yeah, the way they've handled it, I have not thought was the classiest way. And, you know, and if he already knows that he's not going to come back, then why not just come out and say it instead of being squirrely about it, you know, or have the show say it. Or maybe the show doesn't want to announce it yet. I don't know. But so that's my take on it. I mean, it's not that I don't care about him. I think he's, you know, a good actor, and he's been like a household face for me off and on for years and years. But I don't know. I'm kind of honestly indifferent at this point. That's my
take on it. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if it is, but I hope that's
your phone's doing it. Carrie, your phone's doing it again.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah.
I was going to the 80s, and I'm just over them. They're boring. And if you look at the breakdowns per year, who has the most episodes, Peter Reckel is usually in the top three, if not number one. So it's not like there's been a lack of Bone Hope storylines. There's been a ton, and they've all been bad. And to me, if Peter Reckel leaves, I really don't have a problem with that. I understand he's got a ton of fans, and I understand there's a lot of Bone Hope fans, and there's a lot of Just Bo fans, too. But, I mean, I think, to me, I'd rather not lose Renee Jones. I'd take Renee Jones back in the heartbeat before Peter Reckel. I don't know where else you're going to go with Bone Hope. The show doesn't seem that interested in writing them a decent story, and it just seems like they're constantly split up, and Hope's off doing something, and Bo's off doing something. And it's just dull. I mean, you had Nighttime Hope. You had Bo blind Hope again, doing things behind her back, and then sleeping with his ex-wife. And then they're married, and they're not married, and they're married, and they're not married. And the last time they had a wedding, it was a ratings disaster. It was odd because they didn't have a wedding for Tony and Anna 2 months before. They got married off-screen. But they spent all their money on a Bo and Hope renewal. And I think it was like a 1.6 or 1.7 4 years ago. I mean, it was a total disaster. It just, I don't know. But this is an alternative, too. I don't know what the hell they're going to do with Christian Alfonso, because if they stick her with Sean Christian, there's going to be riots in the streets. But nobody wants to watch that.
Please don't
stick her with anybody.
What are they going to do with her? If they were going to do that, we would know that she's getting a health scare of some sort, because that's the only way that Daniel will date somebody. You know, we know that Hope's going to end up getting a really big health scare story, because that is Daniel's end game for that, because that's the only way he sees people. Like, he has to see him in a teal gown first before he can get turned on. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so I hope they don't go that route. I really don't. I really hope. I think that's probably why she was kind of lobbying for Jason Cook to come back, too, because that would give her at least a family. Like, you know, she's got Sierra, which is great. That girl's adorable. I hope they never like, sore ass her off the show, because she's so adorable. And then Jason Cook, if he came back and they brought, him and I'm drawing a blank. Who's the one he was married to? I'm drawing a blank. Shell. Yeah, Shell. They bring Shell back.
Shell.
Yeah, sure.
I'm drawing a blank on her name, though. What is her name?
Martha Madison or Kristen Storms?
Yeah, exactly.
Kristen Storms and Jason Cook were the original. So,
yeah. And they
Sean
brought
Bell.
Them back, you know, the originals back or whatever, whatever way. But I wasn't originally a big fan of that, so I really am kind of indifferent to that as well. But I wonder if maybe Kristen's lobbying for that because that would give her some story and stuff. Because, I mean, I love Kristen. I hope she stays for a long time. I mean, I know she just re-signed her contract and everything, and hopefully she'll get a good story,
safe.
But, you know.
But no one
but, I mean, you don't always have to be paired with someone to have a story, but unfortunately with somebody like Hope, it's a little iffy otherwise, you know, because unless they have her working as a police officer or something again, or, you know, usually when you commit a felony, you usually don't get to do that again because she's been in jail, you know, in prison, but, you know. So you never know. Maybe that record has been, stricken or whatever and no longer expunged or whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, I don't know. So we'll see. I would like to interject one thing just in case anyone's interested. I just discovered that today that Lap Dancing Lessons is following me on Twitter. So if anyone would try to follow them, I can't guarantee whether it's, you know, they're good to follow or not, but I'm just, like, laughing. I don't know. It doesn't have anything to do with Days of Our Lives, technically, but, you know, it's kind of a funny thing to see that's following you. It's like, that's interesting.
How'd that happen?
Yeah. I wonder if they had a keyword, and one of the keywords is hoochie, and that's how they came up with it.
Could have been.
Maybe we mentioned poles.
When we were tweeting with Ian, maybe.
Pole dancing too often, and you know the filter is that gets, you know, tries to
that
keep you available mm-hmm. marketing opportunities. It must have come off. Oh, but anyway, so yeah, that's my feeling on this bow and all that.
Not only is the chat room, I can't get it up. I can't get my overhead light to work either. It was on and now it is off. And it's on a dimmer, so it could be that sometimes the dimmer just gets a little bitchy and it'll turn off by itself, but now I can't get it on no matter what. So that makes it really nice for me to try to read my notes.
Oh,
and
no.
I can see them. I'm in the dark.
I got notes.
I was going to Marianne, you were going to make an announcement before we get too much further into things.
I don't know if she's in the chat room or not, but our friend Jan in the chat room. Yeah, she's probably listening. So everyone here, I just want to extend our sympathies to her from everybody here at the Divan, her mom who passed away this past week.
Yeah.
Said she was going to be listening. She's always in the chat room giving her comments and funny things. So just wanted to pass that along to her.
Yeah, we're all real sorry to hear that. Thinking of her. So that's one of our Diva family.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, she listens every week. So.
Yeah. For some reason lately, though, she hasn't been calling.
And she really enjoys
the
chat room. You know, she always enjoys being in the chat room.
Yeah.
I don't know what's
going
on.
Chat room's apparently not up. It's like, she's not in there tonight. We've been thinking about her, so.
Oh, I'm a bit chiming in on the whole Shell thing. I hated Shell with a passion. I don't care who the hell the actors were. It was just bad. To me, I know a lot of people love Shell, but to me, it was usually Sean kind of had an attitude problem and was kind of jerky, and then Belle would just kind of get all hysterical and drama queen on him all the time. And, you know, he was kind of cold to her a lot, and then she would just, like, the whole thing with Jan when he was pretending to be the father of her baby and all that, and it was, and then when Beamer took over the role, he just had no charisma whatsoever. That was awful. And then Martha Madison didn't have any chemistry with anyone but Johnson.
The chemistry with Philip. But they didn't. They only had the hot sex scene one time, and then
Yeah, so to me, I really don't want a show at all. And the thing is, too, basically all those actors are unemployed. So we could, you know, it'd be funny if they'll bring back all four of them.
Yeah, I saw where Jason said at the event, he said that he was available after the summer. He would love to come back to his Dave's family. And Martha mm-hmm. Madison chimed in that she would love to, too. And Martha's really sweet. I've met her, and she's a real doll. Mm-hmm. But she said she'd love to see Philip come back, too. And I had heard a random rumor that there was a possibility Philip might come back. So if they went the route that somehow got Philip and Martha Madison's Bill together, I could like that because I thought they had chemistry. But I don't really think, like you said, either that Martha had a chemistry with either the other two actors so much that played Sean. So I don't know. We'll see, you know, I guess. But Martha's a doll, though. She's very sweet. And she's a good actress, too. It's just a matter of the matchups and all that. But I thought Philip was best suited for her, I think. But then, you know, that's if they didn't bring Nadia back for the Flowey fans or something like that. But haven't heard anything recently on that. Have you guys? It seems like that died down. Like, she denied it now.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Nothing on Nadia at all.
Even though I did like, the only pairing I liked with Sean was with Mimi, though. I liked Shimmy a lot. So I thought,
I was not into Mimi at all. I tuned in, I started watching Days again right around the time that they did the glove and the baby swap, you know, the dish baby swap thing and all that. And I was like, I did not, and Bonnie was, Bonnie was hiding a secret about the something, and I don't know. I just didn't like the whole Mimi and Brandon Beamer's Sean at all, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Jason Cook and Farrah Fath, though, I actually like them, too. I thought they were cute together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jason Cook is definitely cute. I could see enjoying him. I only have seen a few scenes with him as Sean, really most of the scenes I saw, because when I returned to the show, I think I saw it, wasn't it like Jason Cook, and then like one day all of a sudden Brandon Beamer took over the role? Because it seemed like I was watching, and all of a sudden one day it was like there was a new guy playing the role, and I had just started watching the show again, so I didn't know what was happening. But, you know, because usually they go away, and then they come back or whatever, you know, after a while. But it seemed like with that character, it seemed like he didn't go away. It seemed like just one day a new actor walked in the door playing him. So I don't know. But
do you guys remember what show it was? They actually had the old actor hugging an actress, and then when they cut the scene and they came back to the same scene in the same episode, you know, they unhugged and it was a new actor with the actors. And they actually did it in the same episode.
No.
Yeah, and one of the soaps actually did that. Yeah,
no.
It'd be like Jason. It'd be like Jason Cook. Yeah, like Jason Cook say he's hugging Martha Madison, and then after the commercial break, they break up, and it's, you know, they stop hugging, and it was Brandon Beamer. Yeah, one of the soaps actually did that, but I don't remember what soap, and I can't get the chat room open. So I'm assuming somebody knows the answer. I keep getting reconnecting server, so I'm not sure what the hell that means, because I don't have a server problem, obviously. But, yeah, so I'm just not interested in the whole Spring Fling gang at all, to tell you the truth. But, you know, like people
Scooby,
said, though,
Scooby-Doo
like,
gang, isn't it? What we used to call them?
Gang.
Scooby-Doo gang, okay.
Yes, because you're always out doing mysteries, you know, stuff that we all did when we were teenagers. We were all out in the Caribbean looking for rubies. Don't you remember that, Marianne?
I remember that. Yeah, I remember doing that. It was every summer. It was always the teen crowd. What always is that? Every summer. Scooby-Doo gang.
Yeah, actually, I had a dream about you this morning, Marianne. You and I were in New York City.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Sounds like trouble.
Trouble.
Oh, yes. And Michelle was there, too. Michelle Sadler. So.
Oh, Michelle.
Should be covered up.
Michelle Sadler, yeah.
Usually, Hoochie dreams of any kind of things that are not exactly PG.
Well, this is funny, though. I was in a restaurant with Marianne, Michelle. I can't remember the other people.
And the person bussing tables, I'm not making this up, was Austin Peck.
Austin Peck.
Austin Peck.
Where did he come from?
I don't know, but he was in my dream. He was the bus boy. And I said to the girls, I said, oh, my God, you guys have to take a picture.
Austin.
And I'm going to tweet it to Patrick Muldoon. Just
mess
with him.
And by the way,
what?
Did you know the chat room is open?
So I'm the only one that's done it.
Even though you can't see it, it is open. I can't get in it either, but apparently it's in there. It is open.
Okay.
I see people in there. So shout out to the people in the chat room. We can see you. Even if we can't get in ourselves, thanks to Blog Talk.
I can't see you guys, so you're going to have to update me what's going on in the chat room, but I can't see it. Somebody knows that answer to the hug. Or the recast was done during a hug. I really would like to know the answer to that.
Oh, yeah.
So it was so funny.
Happened?
I'm asking the girls to take a picture so I can tweet it to Patrick Muldoon just to mess with them. And Marianne actually said, and some of the girls said, well, we're in this restaurant and it's kind of greasy around here and we're afraid to use our cameras to take the picture. And I'm like, what? I'm right here with Austin Peck. And I was so pissed. I'm like, I'm right here at Austin Peck.
The two Austins were in the same dream?
No, I wanted to tweet the picture to Muldoon of myself with Austin
funny.
Peck. But yeah. So
okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I dream about apparently.
Oh boy. Shirtless or no?
No, he was busting tables, so he no. Oh.
Not
journalists.
Okay.
That's
funny.
Yeah, but I still can't get my light on in my room. Oh, hey, I got it on. Hey. I can see my notes now. Anna, why don't you go ahead and go start Kate pimping for the week?
Oh,
she's busy.
Well, first of all, I think it's most important that I pimp Kate's blouse that she was in for Thursday and Friday. It was an awesome blouse. I think she was in it for both episodes. Can't really explain it, but you just gotta go on and check it out. And it also looked cool with her blue streak. It was awesome. It was a really beautiful blouse, and so I think the blouse itself deserves some pimping. So I'm gonna mention that. She had some amazing scenes with when she went to see Stefano. They had him laying. I guess they had a visitation sort of thing. Each person could kind of come in and see him at random times or something. Type of deal. It was kind of a casual wake, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, he was lying in state at the mausoleum, and so Kate went and visited him. And of course, Lauren Coslow always knocks it out of the park. You should follow her at Lauren Coslow, by the way. She's awesome. But she, knocked it out of the park going to see him, and she was crying, and she's saying that he knew her better than anyone, and he still loved her, still married her, still was with her. And I think she called him a son of a bitch or something at some point. I can't remember her exact words, but it was funny.
Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm. You son of a bitch or whatever. But so it was sweet. And so it was really touching that she got to go see him and that they gave her, she was able to do those scenes. And then there were some scenes with Kate and Madison talking about business and talking about how Brady – back at Titan, how Brady really screwed up that whole business deal at the pub that day that Ian, unbeknownst to them, had poisoned his breakfast protein drink. He showed up at the, a few weeks ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, he showed up at the pub for a meeting, like all, multi-billionaires do. They have meetings at the pub. And really basically ruined the meeting with Serge. So Madison and Kate were talking about how they were going to do damage control in this episode. They were talking about doing damage control, and Brady walked in, overheard them, and he's like, "Yeah, I know, I did, I messed up," and all. And Kate's like, "You need to, you need to not worry about this next meeting, and go to a 12-step program." So they're really dropping all these bombs about him, heading down that path again. And I think what's going to happen is he's going to have another meltdown Ian's going to keep drugging him. Because didn't Ian drug mm-hmm. his protein drink? I mean, he not only drugged the one that Brady was drinking that day, but he drugged the powder, that the canister of, you know, powder. So apparently every time he has a protein drink, he's going to be having a meltdown or something.
He's going to be high.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be interesting. So, of course, people across the country will be asking, what is it that you're spiking this protein drink and how can I get some? But anyway, so we got a Brady sighting. He wasn't shirtless, as far as I know.
No,
I
guess, shirtless.
I missed some gaps there. I didn't see, I mean, notes to me, I had a meeting that day and I didn't get to see the scenes where Ian and Kate had scenes towards the end. So if you guys saw those scenes, maybe you could fill me in on what happened at that, because I didn't even realize they had scenes that day together. So I'm going to have to go back and watch that. But I know Ian, on the subject. He showed up. Oh, I don't know what I'm jumping around. Do you want me to mention the part about Ian going to the Demira Mansion, talking to EJ, or should we talk about Stephanie?
Sure.
Those were pretty cool.
Yeah.
EJ.
Ian and EJ were good.
I don't remember every bit of the dialogue, but basically, Ian randomly shows up and at the mansion, and Stephanie's body has already been removed and sent back to Italy, and which is all too convenient. I'm kind of wondering if somehow EJ knows that Stefano's still alive and is somehow either torturing him or conspiring with him on this. I don't really know which, but I just think it's odd that, like, the body was at the home, and then all of a sudden the body has been shipped off to Italy. So so if anybody has any insight on that, I might have missed something or whatever, but that's what I thought. So anyway, Ian shows up, and of course I loved the scenes with EJ and Ian. I thought they were awesome. But essentially he shows up and EJ's like, the body's already, if you're here to mourn my father, he's a father, he's already been shipped off, his body's already been shipped off to Italy. And, you know, Ian basically, you know, he was trying to schmooze EJ, and EJ wasn't buying it. And from what I recall, it seemed like he was, like, planting a seed with EJ that, well, when you come up for air, you know, when you stop mourning or whatever, give me a call. Maybe I can help you out here or something. So I don't know. Do you guys have any hints or any ideas what Ian's trying to get at? You know, I'm not sure where that's going.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, I don't know. Like, now that he's off the show, which kind of makes it, you know, now that he's not going to be on there.
Point,
we always thought these rumors that he was going to be a Demira. Well,
right.
I thought, well, maybe that scene there was a little bit of, like, that. You know, that
that's
he was coming
too.
To see EJ, like, say, well, maybe he was supposed to be Stefano's brother. I don't know. Nothing like that came out. But
right.
He was just kind of, and there were some snarky comments that EJ made to Ian about saying that, you know, you must be just as good as Stefano. I mean, to get him away, no, to get Kate away from Stefano.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even
as good as dead.
And then
Ian
say something
you must be as good
in
bed as Stefano or something.
And then Ian, I was pissed at EJ, even though I love EJ and Kate together, I was pissed at EJ's line because Ian was like, you know, well, I've known Kate for a long time, you know, and and then EJ was like, well, I did too, but I didn't think she was that memorable. Or he made some snide remark about her, and I was like, you smart ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, you did not just bash her.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that line.
They were all passing around Kate there.
There you go. So,
yeah. Yeah, she can pass around a lot, but yeah.
I was going to say, hey, you know, if you can get that gig, that's a good gig to have if you're Kate. I'm saying these guys are all pretty nice looking. So.
How you were saying about Stefano, and you thought, well, maybe EJ's in on it? I thought maybe Stefano might have faked his own death. And he's laying in there, but he's really not dead. And I love how everybody came and was parading by and giving their last,
like
Sammy and Nicole.
Sammy said, I feel like I should stick you with a pin to make sure you're really dead.
And
go ahead.
Go ahead. I wish she would have done that. I was hoping she would have pulled a needle out and done that. She says, you don't know how much I want to make sure that you're really dead. And then Nicole's telling standing right. I thought, well, maybe Stefano has, he's recording everybody, and they're all, he's going to find out all these secrets, because Nicole's standing there telling him that it's EJ's baby, you know, and EJ's pouring out his, and then Kate's pouring out her real feelings, and it's like, okay, I think, oh, I don't know. I don't think he's, you know, maybe he's in on it, and he faked his own death somehow. I don't know, maybe somebody else is, maybe the police are in on it, too, thinking, maybe he went to them saying, hey, I think someone, because didn't all those eight people come in and then they all left?
Right.
They all threatened him and they left. And like Stefano might have thought, you know what? One of these people are going to come back and shoot me. I'm going to set them up.
Well, and remember the CIA or whoever, the FBI or CIA, they were protecting Stefano because it's almost like,
right.
Are they putting him in witness protection?
Right, are they in
idea
on it? Well, maybe even Rogan's in on it.
Wouldn't that be the idea of hell, to have Rafe witness protectioning him?
I couldn't stand it. There we finally got some Roman scenes, and Roman actually had some work to do. And then what does he do? He turns it over to Rafe.
I know.
So
you know,
Rafe
because,
can be the head of
Rafe
the
is
on there.
So
huh?
Because Rafe is
kidding?
So unbiased. Hello, his stepson,
hello.
Our ex-stepson, is one of the main suspects. He's been friends and worked with everybody on there.
And that's why Roman stepped down, because he was too close. Well, so is Rafe. That didn't make sense, right?
That doesn't
make sense.
So, the new writers will come back, and they'll definitely have plenty of ways that they can resurrect, no pun intended, you know, they can resurrect Stefano.
Yeah.
Equally.
Okay.
So,
but that was
yeah.
a good day on Wednesday when they all came in. I thought that was comedy.
Yeah,
all
that was funny.
Talking to
that was funny.
Stefano. That was funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
I'm
the case,
curious to see how they're
going
to do it.
But Carrie,
I don't know if EJ's necessarily in on it though.
Well, maybe
just,
not.
Yeah, I never thought that.
EJ shot at him.
Maybe not.
So
yeah,
I don't know, but it would make sense though.
Yeah, EJ did shoot. Actually, EJ shot the gun, right? We saw EJ shoot and miss, but yet he had a gun residue test done, and Will was the only one that had gun residue on him, but not but not EJ.
Well,
EJ had gloves on. But I saw EJ was throwing gloves away. What was that? Did you see that? He had gloves in his hand, and he threw them away.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody see that?
Yeah.
That was. I didn't know what that was supposed to mean. But then why didn't he have gun residue? When we actually, he was the only one we actually saw shoot the gun at Stefano, past him. But yet they said he took him for tests, and then they tested everybody, yet they said, Will, that's why he was a suspect, because he's the only one that had it. Well, how come EJ didn't have any?
Well, if they tested his hands and he shot using gloves, there's not going to be any gun residue on his hands.
I guess what I mean. I guess, but I don't remember when he shot the gun. I don't remember him having gloves on, or maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
And
then I actually didn't see the actual shooting scenes. That's when electricity knocked out, or the storm knocked out my dish. But from what I saw, people said that the person who shot at Stefano was wearing gloves. That's not the case.
Oh, you mean when he actually, like, shot, like, when he was in the chair?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But then, and before that, EJ had shot at him, like, past him at the wall?
Right.
This was before, then I didn't know if he had gloves on then or not. Okay, interesting. Another interesting scene was EJ and William.
Mm-hmm.
They were some of the best scenes. Those two are so good together and funny. Make me laugh. Yeah. The one thing that I like when he said to Will, he said, you know, you're the best, you're the mirror gift that keeps on giving. Meaning he keeps blackmailing Will with the same thing, because now this is the other thing. He says he has to do all his bidding. Because if the cops knew that he tried to kill someone else, that's not going to help his case.
Uh-huh.
He said to Will, he says, you know, you're the mirror gift that keeps on giving.
Will also said to EJ that he wanted EJ to get him off.
I wrote that down in my notes.
What was that?
Yeah.
What was that?
Will Peggy EJ get him off? Yes,
I'm
You have to get me off. Yeah.
Think of that in another way, too, Anne.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure a lot of fans that would love those two to be together enjoyed that line.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He said it a couple times, I think. Yeah.
Yep. So that was hilarious. That was
probably
the highlight of the week.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
that is funny.
Yeah, it's like, you know, someone actually wrote that in the script.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And probably didn't get it, but of course James and Chandler got it and milked it.
Of course.
And then EJ says to him, "I say jump, and you say," and Will says, "How high?" That was
I love it. Those two are really
and
good.
And then he hits him on the back or across the head. He like hit him like that. You know, you say, I say jump, and you say what?
I bet they really enjoy working together. They seem to play off each other well.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Eve William. I like both of them together.
Yeah. I mean, not together, but definitely in scenes together, yeah.
I don't know.
No.
I
think it's a
question,
though.
Yeah, it's time for EJ to get out of the closet already.
Yeah. Will wants to get him off. One can get him off. So go to it, EJ.
Get her done.
Yeah. We used to talk about that with EJ and Lucas, too. That was
right.
That's right. Yeah, they remember that time they had the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Very romantic. It was the most romantic CPR I've ever seen. It was fantastic. Yeah.
So who wants to talk about Abe and Kayla?
The whole
super couple
break up with Steve.
Yes. They have super couple written all over them.
Don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
That's a little weird.
His wife
That's
is
about
die.
As Kayla and Shane. What is it with Kayla? They try to put them with the most unlikely people that nobody would want to see them with. Like Kayla and Shane, who wanted that? Nobody. I don't think. I don't know.
So let's just, Kayla and Steve are supposedly having problems, and Abe's putting his hand on her on her knee and stuff. He's like, okay.
So we're going to give them a story. I mean, obviously, if they're making a point of saying Steve and Kayla are breaking up, that means, they're going
to
make
need to have Faye
somebody
Walker
for Steve.
Come back. Dang it. She would be so good with Abe.
Oh, yeah. That's who they should bring back for Abe.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would love
I don't know for Faye. Kayla. I don't know who they could.
I mean, because to me, that means
she's going
to
be given more of a storyline.
It sounds weird, but Kayla and Abe to me are more like family. I don't know. To me, it's kind of skeevy because it's like he's like part of the family in a way. I don't know. And plus, there's the whole Steve and Kayla legendary super couple aspect that, you know, gets in the way. But, I mean, I like the fact that he's leaning on her and everything, but I just hope they don't go the romantic route. But I would really love for them to find – I would really love for Faye to be hiding somewhere. And I mean, like, being, you know, Stefano has her kidnapped or something somewhere, locked up in the basement like we talked about before. And hopefully someone's still feeding her after he dies. But it would be so nice if Abe could find her, rescue her, and then – you know, she could be there for Nicole through her pregnancy and having a baby, and she could be there for Abe to help him in mourning. I mean, speaking of Alexi dying and stuff, wasn't it early this week that Jack and Jen went to visit her?
Yeah, that was a good Jack and Jen. Yeah, there were some sad scenes there, too, with her and Abe and Theo, too, when she was talking to Theo. More or less telling Theo that she was going to be going away.
Oh my god, that was such a tearjerker. Oh my god.
Yeah, and he knew about, you know, his grandfather dying, and he says, is he, what's he called, Nano, I guess, for grandfather? He says, is he going to get things ready for you when you go away? Well, there.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of wondering, I know he's autistic, but isn't Theo like 7 or so? Shouldn't he have some sort of concept of death, though? That just seems far. That just seems a little...
Depends
on
me.
Yeah, I don't know why
on,
they're not explaining it to him as death, because that's not
on
what they're not explaining
on the
him.
It depends on where he is on
right.
the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But he seems mostly functional and... I mean, my youngest son is 7. He understands death. So I just, you know, I mean, they didn't even try to explain death to him. They just said, oh, she's going away. I just think that would give him more issues.
Yeah,
that
they didn't explain it. It's just he's going away, yeah. I don't know. Unless because he's autistic and that's the only way they understand it, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they explain it that way or not.
Yeah, so let's see. Well, my light went out again, so let's see if I can figure out what else was going on. We mentioned Bradison. We might as well wrap that up. So that was really boring, but, well, they're always boring. Might as well just call them boring, son. But I actually enjoyed Kate and Madison's conversation more than Madison and Brady.
Isn't that funny? I did too for a change. That was really weird.
Yeah.
I usually can't stand Madison. Now that I know she's leaving, I'm actually kind of enjoyed her scenes with Kate.
Mhm. Yeah, and so they decided to do the drug testing thing. And it was odd. This one minute she's like, "Oh, I'm not going to marry you. You know, I'm not going to get to another bad marriage." And he's like, and they start talking, and agreed to take the test. And she's like, "Okay, thanks, back on." And it's like, He didn't even take the test yet. And the wedding's back on it already? I mean, it was offered 3 seconds. Just the whole thing was kind of bizarre. So,
She had a different hairstyle, too, didn't she?
She had bangs.
Her hair was different. It was different.
Yeah, her hair
was
weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
It looked like she was wearing a wig. That's how bad
it
she looked.
It looked different, yeah.
Yeah, it's the day's hairstylist, and we all know.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, she didn't have enough hair for them to do the braids with her, so instead she got bangs. But it literally did look like a wig. You know, it just the bangs just didn't look natural at all. But oh well. Yeah, so Brady's gonna do a drug test. Whatever. But we all know what the result's gonna be. So, and you know, I just kind of don't care. I thought something interesting. Lumi and Rafe. We had Sammy and Lucas thing they threw Will on their bus again. This was Rafe by Lucas mentioning that Will shot EJ. And then Rafe saw, and then Sammy saw Rafe. It looks like he didn't hear anything. But the whole thing was odd. Marianne mentioned before, Roman gave the case to Rafe, who was basically investigating the death of a guy who tried to blow him up. And the number one suspect is his ex-stepson, which I believe Safe's now officially divorced. I think that was mentioned in one of the episodes. So I don't see how he's not... you know, so far removed from it that he's the one doing the investigation. But he actually literally didn't do any work this week except for being a jackass, and he didn't want EJ in the mansion while he was in there. So, and basically, Rafe was just in there snooping. I don't think he actually found anything. And, you know, and basically, Roman's doing all the work, and, you know, and he just passed it off to Rafe, and Rafe is basically just annoying people around town. He actually hasn't really done any work.
Roman finally gets some screen time, and he gives it up to Rafe. I mean, geez.
And it's the whole big setup so we can have more of Rafe and Carrie. Like, that hasn't been horrendous enough the past 6 months. So even with Carrie being pregnant, she's... I guess we're going to have more Carrie and Rafe scenes coming up. Oh, So that's just more torture for everybody. I can't stand them. They make me sick. So, Anna, do you have any comments on Rafe annoying everybody in Salem?
Pretty much refer to the last 80 to 100 comments I've made over the last... Oh, it's like, you know, I felt sorry for Josh, too. It's like, he's looking at his script, and he's like, really, Roman, I finally get some story.
That's what I was
thinking. And I have to pass it off to Rafe. Like, and that's the funny thing. It's like, why didn't they pass it off to the girl that they assigned to Roman that keeps following him around everywhere?
Yeah, what's the point
of
her?
They assigned
to
her. You know, I mean, like, geez.
Doesn't say two words the whole time she's on.
I know.
Hardly anything. Yeah.
Maybe she's just working on getting her SAG card or something, or, you know, actor's thing or something. I don't know. But I mean, that's got to be, he's probably like, yay, I finally get some lines, and it's like, crap, now I have to, you know, toss it over to Rafe.
The thing is, though, too, they keep forgetting she's there. And, like, the one show with Rafe and Roman talking in the office when Roman gives the investigation to Rafe, they were kind of talking some personal things about Will. And they were kind of incriminating and stuff. And it just, to me, I didn't think it was appropriate to say some things in front of Officer Kent, who apparently doesn't have a first name. But, it just, I don't know, the whole thing was weird. That, you know, it's just stupid. It's a super race to the rescue again, so lovely. But I'm going to put Angela on. She's been on hold for a while. Let's see if I can get
her.
Hi,
ladies.
Hello.
Hey,
Angela.
What's up, Angela?
Well, y'all have had a great conversation. I'm really enjoying just sitting there listening. But
so what did
I
you agree or disagree with?
I agree with a lot of things. I agree that I think Stefano faked his own death.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
okay.
And I wonder about this Officer Kent person too, that you know, if in fact, you know, Stefano is cooperating with the ISA or the whoever, you know, the
mm-hmm.
Friday's episode, and I may be giving way too much credit to the show at this point because the writing talk about that in a minute. But anyway, I think one of the things I suspected is that, you know, Friday, you know, John is mysteriously gone, and
mm-hmm.
You know, and they've shipped Stefano's body off to Italy. So I'm, like I said, I'm just wondering if they're not all working with Stefano. I mean, I never got the whole reason why Stefano would have started dealing arms anyway. Why would he have gotten involved in that? So I guess that's my hope. Yeah, that we'll have, you know, Stefano at least on a recurring basis, because I think it's definitely confirmed Joe Mascola is retiring, but he's agreed to do recurring. I think that's been confirmed in writing. So, you know,
oh.
But hopefully I'll never believe
oh, really?
Stefano is really dead. I mean, I don't
Where
care what
you,
they
did
do.
Did you see something recent? Did you see an official thing about that?
I saw an article online, and I think it was in Soap Opera Digest. But
oh, okay.
And I've read something specifically, not just somebody else just,
oh,
you know, pontificating on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
mm-hmm.
definitely.
I was just wondering if something new had come out.
Yeah, he is. I think he's retiring, and they
yeah.
but they, he is going to do.
Yeah, I heard he didn't want to do as much work, but yeah, not completely
yeah.
retire. Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, but, you know, just, you know, with the history of Stefano, I'm never going to believe he's dead. And so that's, you know, I guess I held up the hope there for that. And so I agree with that part. And I also, now I like, you know, I loved Original Shell. I think Marianne does too, right, Marianne?
Yeah, I do like the Original Shell. Yeah, I do.
So
I like that whole, like with the, what was that called? The Last Blast?
Yeah.
The dance. Is that when it, yeah. That whole summer. I have to admit
mm-hmm.
that's one of the better ones of the young people ones, I think, that they've
that's
had.
That's one of the best
that they have.
The group really were trying to be. Around 1999, which is when that Sally Sussman was there for a brief time. You know, she was under, did a lot of work under Bill Bell on
mm-hmm.
Y&R.
Yeah, I didn't mind that storyline.
And so I think, to me, the first, from 1999 to about 2001, 2002, to you got to the Colin Murphy murder time period, I think that was actually much better written. It was much more I can't even speak tonight. It was more well written than the later years. I hated the Jan story. I don't even know how Jason Cook could possibly have gone to work every day in that cage and all that foolish they did. That was awful. I mean, it was just, that was really one of their worst. But, of course, I think that was under Dina's original reign when she came back in 2003. I think some of that was Miss Dina. So I think the early part of Shell, I love the early part of Shell, and I'm far, in 1999, I was far from being a teenager. But it reminded me of my first sweetheart, and anyway, I loved them together. And I think I do think Jason Cook is coming back, and I think it may be Kirsten Storm will come back, and I do like them better than I like as a person. And having met Martha Madison, she's lovely. I agree with what Anna's saying about her; she's very sweet. I just never had the excitement about her, and And to me, even the chemistry with J. Kenneth Johnson, you know, it was more chemistry than she had with Brandon or even with Jason. But I don't even know that chemistry was that hot. I think it was that nothing else was all that great, so that was better. I think Jason will come back. I think that's a good sign, too, because, you know, originally at some point down earlier on, they had to be thinking that they were building legacy, younger people that were going to be, you know, be on the show. And I think that a lot of the last group, you know, I think they were very good for that. But, you know, then over the course of the 2000s, we've had so many different writing regimes that have all been 50 shades of awful. Right. You know, that it's just ruined so many of them, and they're all,
can I interject real quick? Didn't James or somebody, or I mean EJ or somebody, say something about 50
Sammy.
Shades this week?
Sammy. It was Sammy.
50 Shades of,
yes,
of what?
Yes, and I thought, is that a message they're trying to send? Because I know some people, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just had to jump in.
Yeah, it was probably. It would be.
I thought it was really, because don't they want him to play Christian or some, I don't know what character the character names are or anything.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's a character that somebody was saying EJ should play, or James should play. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I think they definitely did that. I think it was on the Rogie Jammy website. I don't know if I should be pimping other websites or not, but they did have a thing on there about Sammy said something to him about, we already know you're 50 Shades of Messed Up. And within that book, there's a lot of references to that character, Christian, being 50 shades of an expletive up, not messed up.
Uh-huh.
So it's a very common thing. And
okay.
I'm almost ashamed to admit this. I have read the first volume of the book.
You recommend it?
Huh?
I want to read it. I said, I want to read it. I said, you recommend it?
I recommend it. It's salacious. It's one of the most salacious things I have ever read in my life. And that's not saying a whole lot. But
okay, then I'll have to go buy it then.
Okay. I will say that it was... I really think we ought to have a whole discussion on it. Get a couple of different people that have read it and talk about it.
That's an idea. Yeah.
Because I have quite a few. I read it more, supposedly, I kept saying I was reading this for research.
Oh, yeah, right.
There are a lot of parallels. You know, one of the things there is actual dialogue from EJ and Nicole last year, like in November, December time frame, that is so close to what is written in this book that it's possible that things were lifted as fan fiction. I don't know. They won't be, so anyway, I won't talk about 50 Shades of Grey right now, but I do think that would be a good conversation. So anytime you want to have a discussion on it, I think it would be good. I do say it's certainly very salacious, and it's very there's some very disturbing violent pieces to it. Are very disturbing to me. I will say that. I think there's a good context. They're certainly very similar. There's a lot of there's certainly a lot of EJ in the character of Christian Grey. And I think that the character of Christian Grey. I have all kinds of things about it, and I need to just stop talking about it because anyway, I think that if you go back to the history on Young and the Restless, I just finished reading the Young and Restless biography by Bill Bell, so that's why all this stuff is fresh in my mind. But one of the things that they, Victor Newman on Young and the Restless, who of course is, certainly not necessarily a good guy, but he's a certain powerful force in journalism. Originally he was given up for adoption, and his original name was Christian, and he was abused as a young child, and that was the reason. And they had a storyline. I did not see it. I have never watched Young and the Restless for very long, but I just know pieces and parts of it. But evidently there was a significant storyline, and there was something in the Bill Bell book about it too, talking about giving all the reasons as to why Victor was such a difficult gray character, and all those things, and that was part of the whole story, and that's part of really the story of Christian Grey in the book. The other thing that I found interesting, and again this is just stuff off the top of my head, so like I said, I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Can anyone else hear that? There's some bad feedback on. Can you guys hear that?
No, I actually don't hear anything.
I hear it really loud. Okay, I'm sorry. It's like I could hear it on my end. I don't know. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything different.
I can hear static and stuff real bad.
Okay, I don't know. I
sorry.
I don't know what to do otherwise.
Okay, no, it's not your fault. I just was like thinking I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, there was a chat, and at one point someone had asked James a question about, Susan Banks, and this has been quite some time ago. I can't even honestly don't even remember. I think it was sometime last year. If the Susan Banks character came back, and that was before we even had Bryn Thayer do the, phone call or whatever, that we saw earlier this year. This was long before all that. And James had made the comment about that he just didn't see how it could happen because it would just be really difficult since DJ had been given up for adoption. And I remember thinking in that chat, I was going, huh? Yeah, that wasn't the storyline at all. And so I find it interesting because that is the story of Christian Grey. So, like I said, I don't know. I've made my own conspiracy theory, but I do think there will be an interesting discussion to talk about some of the. I don't want to talk about all the things of Shades of Grey because, like I said, it is very salacious and very disturbing. But there is, the story itself does have a lot of parallels with Days of Our Lives and really with Young and the Restless too. I think it's very similar. But anyway, back to I guess what I was talking about with Shell. I liked I hope that Jason Cook comes back. I hope that they do bring Kirsten Storms. I know she's had a lot of health issues, so I don't know if that's been resolved. But I guess that I like the chemistry. I don't know how Kirsten would be with a baby or with a child. Claire, that would be different. They work together some on General Hospital as a couple, Matt and Maxie. So I'm hoping, but I do hope that at least Jason comes back and hopefully they'll bring Kirsten back. Because I think that's one of the things I have read is and heard discussed at least that they are really going to bring in some younger people that are in the 20s and 30s, we've kind of skewed up, and I think they're going to try to skew back down a little bit, too, and then also scale back we've heard this forever, that they were going to scale back the cast. I think hopefully they're really going to do that this time. But anyway, so I hope that happens. I hope that, and that is what I think that's the best thing for Hope with Peter Reckle leaving. I am very sad that Peter's leaving, but I kind of agree with most of everything that Anna said in that there just has not been a story that has really worked for them in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not really all their fault because we've had some ridiculous writing regimes, but I just, you know, it's so sad too, and evidently this happens a lot on soap operas, and that, you know, if somebody is thinking of leaving or everything else, they decrease their time on screen. They give them much poorer stories so that people aren't as interested or excited, to where people don't really care. You know, I mean, sadly that happens. And I think that, I think some of that is kind of what's happened with Peter. And, you know, so I hate to see him go. I loved Hope and Bo in the day. I was, you know, about their same age when the Hope and Bo story started, and I just loved him and loved her, and, you know, it was wonderful. But I think, you know, it's just, I mean, and we'll always have that, you know. I'm very much opposed to them pairing Hope up with somebody else. I don't have any interest in seeing any of that. You know, I think, you know, it's kind of like she needs to kind of, if she's going to stay on the show, which is fine, and again, she's also, you know, has the vehicle for her jewelry and everything when she's on the show, you know, for her other business, it's fine for her to stay, but I just think she needs to move kind of into the Alice role, you know, where she, you know, can be supporting Sean, and she can have part of the story, but we don't really need a romantic story with Hope. I think they, you know, if you look at this horrendous Alamania thing that we've gone through last few months, you know, it was just not good. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. You know, and the writing wasn't good, but I just feel like it didn't really showcase anything. Because, you know, James Scott has had some terrible writing too, but he's still been able to kind of rise above it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, there's certain
That's
actors
the problem.
On the show that, well, they've all had bad writing, but they've still risen above it. And again, I love Christian and I love Peter, but, you know, if he is going to leave, I think, you know, we all settled in our minds that he was going to leave. I've thought since February he was going to leave, or that both of them were going to leave, because the fact that they pushed the Brady soiree so much, and really they kept, from what I had read too, they really kind of, didn't jerk around, not the group that was standing doing the Brady soiree, but Days of Our Lives and the publicity people were really kind of jerking around with all the people that were trying to plan events for quite some time as to when they could have their event and everything. And so I think that there's been, for a while, the plan that, and I didn't know if it was both of them or if it was just him, were probably leaving, and they were doing that specifically so they could kind of have an appropriate goodbye. And I don't think this is a salary negotiation deal. I think it's a done deal. He's been planning to leave now for a while, and you know, so I don't know. I that's just my take on it. But I do think, you know, as much as I love Hope and I'm happy for her to stay on the show, I just think that it is kind of the time then for her to have kind of a decreased role. And you know, if they bring Jason back and they build up a really good story, and all this is all predicated on having a good, solid story. You know, I love the new writing team that they've put together on paper. It looks great. They've all worked with the Culletons. They've worked on As the World Turns, Guiding Light, Another World, all of these. It's successful situations. They've got one guy that works with Lorraine Broderick and was very successful. If they can't make it work with this new writing regime, Days just isn't going to make it work. That's kind of my thought. So I wish Peter well. I'm going to be sad, but we'll always have Hope and Bo's story, and we've seen some fabulous things over the years with them. So, you know, like I said, I think it's okay. I know there's a tremendous feed on Friday, I think, with people talking about, even though Christian's already signed a new contract, you know, saying, please give her a storyline. Don't let her just be a figurehead on the show. Let her be front and center. And frankly, as much as I loved Hope and Bo in the day, I don't think that Hope needs to be front and center on the show. That's just my opinion. I would like for her character to actually go back, and I had hoped they would do this after the nighttime Hope story, is to have her go back to being a little bit more of a socialite. You know, go back a little bit to being, you know, a little bit more sassy and not shallow, but just, you know, some of the things that we really loved about the Cope character back at the very beginning. I mean, obviously, she's grown. They've lost a son. I don't have any idea what they're going to do with, with the character of Bo, if they're going to have Bo, you know, die. I think they've certainly foreshadowed that Bo would probably die, but I don't know that that's going to happen. I mean, you know, all the discussion of him seeing baby Zach and talking to him and wanting to stay with him, but then wanting to come back to see with Hope, and yeah, that whole conversation they had in the cabin during the witness protection, whatever it was, a couple of weeks ago. So to me, that kind of alluded to that. So I guess we'll see. I'll be sad to see him leave. I've loved him. I hope that, you know, everything works out. It's not that I don't like Christian Alfonso, but I don't see her needing to be front and center on the show. I don't see Marlena needing to be front and center on the show. And we really don't know. Like I said, we do know Christian is definitely going to stay. So, you know, I don't think she's going anywhere. I just think that her role probably needs to change some and to be more supporting. But,
Actually think personality-wise, Julie has a much better personality than Hope. I miss Julie having a storyline. Liked her fighting with Bonnie over, she was trying to get Bonnie away from Mickey, who was, you know, widowed from Maggie dying, supposedly dying. And it, to me, Julie is a much stronger, more interesting, more sassy character than Hope. Hope is just kind of boring. I think Beau is pretty boring, to tell you the truth, too. And together, they're even more boring. They're just dull.
I think you're right. It has been written very boringly in the last, you know, decade, really. And they just haven't, you know, for whatever reason, it's just never come together for them. And frankly, now that we've been through three or four bad regimes, you know, a lot of damage has really been done. I think Susan Seaforth Hayes is a fantastic actress, and I just finished this Bill Bell book. It's amazing. I did not realize the close relationship she and Bill Hayes had to the Bells, back when Bill Bell was writing for the show. I know that he auditioned Susan Seaforth Hayes and brought her on the show, you know, for Julie. And he made the comment at the time, because they had two. She was the third actress they cast as Julie, and he said back in '68 or whenever it was. He said, and if the third person that we just hired, you know, is, you know, not exciting and interesting and is in any way comparable to what we've just seen, he said she will be going off to Switzerland to have her baby and will not be on camera. So, Susan Seaforth Hayes really made that role. And she is. She's a good actress. She's still got a lot of energy. She's, you know, an advocate for the show. I mean, I think she does speak up too sometimes when she doesn't think that they're getting the time that they had at least been promised. But I agree with you. And so, but if they're not going to bring Julie and Doug back more, and I just have the sense they're not going to do that, and they've made the decision that Christian is going to stay as a central part of, is going to be a foundational person on the show. I think they need to write her, like you're saying, not necessarily just like Julie, but she used to be a lot more of a socialite, a lot more focused on, she could be running the Horton Foundation and planning galas and doing that kind of stuff and make it a little bit more light. I never have liked her as a police officer. And, it just doesn't fit with her. I don't think it's just not interesting to me. Just to me, I don't know. So I would hope that they would do, you know, that they would try to write Hope a little bit differently. But I don't know. I think there's a lot that we don't know. And once hopefully come as early in July as possible, we start seeing some of the changes that are going to come in with the new writing regime. Because, right now, there are two good storylines and things that are interesting. It's the Stefano part, which is always true, and Lexi, you know, which is heartbreaking, but it really has been beautiful. Those are the two things that I'm interested in seeing on the show. The rest of it, I could care less. And I did like the EJ and Will stuff, because that is funny. You know, I love EJ, and he's had a lot of good stuff with Stefano, too. So, but I think, you know, that's really the only parts that are working on the show. Everything else right now, to me, is just a big fat mess, because it's very choppy, and it's, you know, I just feel like they've been doing pieces and parts of things. You're right, they did cut out some stuff with Ian, because I think you were talking about this. It didn't all completely make sense, the conversation he had with EJ. There had to have been something else omitted from that.
Something with the Demiras is what I was thinking.
I just think it's sad. Ever since they made the decision to let him go, it's almost like they must have deleted scenes or else just stopped writing for them or something. I don't know. And it's just really sad. It's just sad. Mm-hmm. So, there was such great potential there. By the way, it's Ian Buchanan's birthday today, although he's already retired for the day because he's overseas, so it's already the next day for him. But some of us wished him a happy birthday on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. But just one more shout out for Children USA. I just hate the potential. I'm sad because of the potential that storyline offered. And that, you know, NBC or whoever must have sunk that ship because it seemed like. That was one thing I was really pro Marlene writing team on, because I feel like they had a good idea there. Now, the execution, we could make an argument that wasn't the best, but we don't know how much push and pull there was from the executives, you know. But it's a shame because I feel like he was just getting started and then we find out he's leaving, and it's just a shame because he really was a great contribution to the show or brought a lot of...
He's a fantastic actor, you know,
and I love his scenes with EJ. It's like,
oh yeah, they're really good. They'd worked. I don't know how many scenes they had together on All My Children, but they were actually on All My Children at the same time. I don't know that they had a lot of scenes together, but I think that they have a lot of similar. Focuses as far as the acting style and the way they work and all that kind of stuff, I think is similar. So I'm going to miss Ian. Right now, I'm focusing on the Stefano part and the Relexi part and just kind of letting the rest of it just kind of roll, because I love EJ and I'd like for EJ and Sammy to be together. I'm not even feeling a lot of the EJ and Sammy scenes. And I don't know why. It looks like they are going to try to make an effort to finally put them together, and I think that's a good idea. At least it should, at this point they need to be going for broke, because, realistically, is the show going to be on past 2013?
What do you think of him being on Twitter sometimes? How do you think that's going to work?
I think NBC is forcing everybody. They forced Matt Lauer, who has never wanted to do Twitter and has talked about my friend of mine said that they had announced that definitely Matt was activating his Twitter account, which he had created in 2010 but never used. And then they had Justin Bieber on that morning, and then Justin Bieber wanted pimps to say, everybody start following Matt Lauer on Twitter. And instantly he had 75,000 people following him. So I think it's an NBC thing that people that are not on are getting on, whether they really want to be on or not, which I have kind of mixed feelings about that. If he really does not want to be on, that makes it kind of tough.
It sounds like Lauren's encouraging him and trying to be supportive and all. I just hope the fans, I love how enthusiastic the Jammy fans are, but I'm afraid there's going to be haters, too, I'm afraid he's going to get spammed so bad it's going to discourage him from even being on there. And my thing if you want to tweet with him, you want to make it so that he wants to actually read his timeline and participate, So if people are smart, they'll be not obnoxious, and maybe, it'll actually work out, And I'm not saying that as a slam against the Jammies, because I love a Jammy. I love every pairing pretty much the Jammy. I love different aspects of Lumi and the Jammy, but I'm just saying that because I know there's so many fans of Jammy that if they feel like if they think it's going to benefit to spam it, I'm afraid it's going to have the opposite effect, because then he's just going to want to tune out, So that's just my guess. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. But I, yeah. I mean, I hope he gets a nice warm welcome and all. Don't get me wrong, but I just,
I feel like
it could be a disaster. It could be a disaster if it's not played the right way. So I hope people will be respectful. We know there's a certain number of people out there that are also haters, and I hope they'll be respectful of the fact that he's a person and not just a character, playing a character.
Well, and you know that they're not going to. I think that's the thing that's concerning is I think James has made it clear, even in the interview he did just the last few weeks when people were asking again about Twitter, and he did say he was going to create a website, you know, kind of like Joe Mascola has, you know, and as a way to communicate. So in my heart of hearts, I have no idea that there's extreme pressure. Could be extreme pressure from Days as well. Think about it. They're going to be cutting at least probably, they've already got about, what, eight people that are on Twitter that are going to be leaving the show. And mm-hmm. I think before it's over with, there'll be at least 15 people gone. And so they're going to want to have as many of the cast on there as they can, because I think that's a very viable, you know, marketing and publicity tool for them now. So I hate to see anybody forced into doing something like that. You know, maybe they'll hire someone to help James do it, and I don't know. But I think because you know there'll be haters, you know there'll be positive people. But it'll be a zoo. There's no doubt about it. I can say that it'll be a zoo. But I don't know. We'll just have to see. Maybe he won't. Maybe in the end he'll prevail and he won't have to do it. I don't know. But I think Lauren is very positive and has really helped a lot with playing the conciliatory role between the different fan bases and getting information out to James, or conveying information to James
uh-huh.
from fans.
She's been awesome.
Great. So, hopefully, like I said, they can control some of it. I think, frankly, with Twitter right now, this adult bullying is ridiculous. I mean, I'm over it myself.
It is.
I mean,
are we in junior high again? Come on, really? Hey, I want to mention something real quick. I want to give Sarah a shout-out. She had to work tonight, Dreamer of Soaps. Say hi, Sarah. You know, magic, magic, magic. She's our magic correspondent.
We had magic
scenes
this week.
Was there any
Friday?
Magic this week? Were there magic scenes? I missed
that.
Yeah,
Friday. A lot.
Quick.
Yeah, nice.
Because I told her we would try to get magic in. So if you could share
mm-hmm.
that with us real quick, that'd be great. Just to
Victor kind of manipulated Maggie to come over. He had M. Henderson call her to come over, and she was kind of upset because she knew that he was playing games to try to get back with her. But in the end, she's going to try. You know, they're going to try it again.
Oh, okay.
But that was the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Victor was, it was cute. It was a good scene.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I just want to make sure to get that in there before it.
Oh, and they're on again on Monday too, I believe.
Oh, good. So Magic Monday, huh?
Yeah, Magic Monday.
Yeah, they went over the whole egg switching thing. That's why she was upset. Could she ever trust him again? And he tried to explain why he did it. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to rewatch that because I missed some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well,
so now we need to read 50 Shades of Grey. So Black
I went to one of the books on my list. Yeah.
I am reading the Hayes' book, Trumpet. I've been reading that too, and that's pretty saucy too. So
recommend another one.
The William J. Bell autobiography that came out, I think, on the 12th is really quite good. It's a chapter on Days of Our Lives, and there's Lauren contributes to it because she worked with the Bells on mm-hmm. Bold and the Beautiful and Young and the Restless and Days, and they've got obviously quotes from Ken Corday and a couple of other people from Days. It's a very good book. To me, it's the same publisher that did Ken Corday's book and the coffee table book for Days. To me, it's a much better read than the Ken Corday book even. And it really focuses more on it does talk about Young and the Restless, but it also talks about just soap in general, soap industry, and how a really strong writer like Bill Bell didn't get a lot of the you know, he was, because he was successful and he was proven successful over and over again, he was able to tell the network, I'm not doing this by committee, which right now, you know, obviously, none of the writers really have an opportunity to do that. So I highly recommend the book. It's I read it in a day. It really is it's a fast read, but it was very, I thought it was very well written. Michael Maloney, who I think he's some type of correspondent with Soaps in Depth. I'm not familiar with him. At one time he worked in production at B&B. He did most of the writing in conjunction with Lee Bell. But I highly recommend it. There's enough in there that is of value, especially if people are just have just only watched Dave, because really Bill Bell did, you know, really save Dave. And there's a lot, a lot of quotes from Susan Seaforth Hayes. She has a lot of really insightful things to say. And as a matter of fact, I think probably the closing paragraph of the book is a quote from Susan. So she's in it a good bit. So it was excellent. And so I think a lot of people would enjoy it. Not just people that watch Young and the Restless.
Okay. On that note, we're going to call it a show, and we'll see everybody next week. So thanks, Angela, Anna, and Marianne.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks,
care, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.